was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Greetings, my friends, greetings. Thank you for joining us on Resurrect the Republic. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer sitting in for Tom and Lori. Welcome to the show. I want to remind people that this show stands on 94:16, Psalms 94:16, in which says, "Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity?" I know everybody listening to this show will. We have a great activist audience. I want to thank everybody who has donated. I want to encourage people who have not supported this show. If they're interested in the information we bring forward, please go to courtroomwatch.org, click on the funding page. It's right at the top. It's the first posting. And I encourage people to support this show if they value the information and that we bring forth. Hopefully we're going to get John Lamb on the phone tonight with some updates on the court cases in Oregon. And if Chris is going to join us tonight, he may be able to give us some insight onto what went on in Nevada today with the trials there. So many of the mainstream, of course, all the mainstream, and many of the alternative, so to speak, or truth media outlets are failing to update us on this. So the information we have is from the few courtroom observers who are, well, not the few. Apparently, there have been a lot of courtroom observers in Oregon. The gallery's been overflowing. There have been people outside and inside simultaneously. And the public notices this, and so does the system. Your voice does matter. I urge you people to keep calling on behalf of Tom. Call the Attorney General's office and call the Vickers. And don't let them forget. Don't let them think that we forgot about Tom. These things are, they count on the fact, the enemy counts on the fact that our memories are short. Our activism is short, and after an initial outcry, they hope that things will just go away. Let's not go away. On behalf of Tom, we want to continue the phone blitz on the U.S. Attorney General. We have a new Attorney General now. I don't see anything has changed. I see a lot of great motivational speeches coming from the top, but where the rubber meets the road, I'm not seeing a lot of change right now just yet. And I'm not talking about, yeah, I know it takes time to bring factories home from China and rework international trade deals and, you know, things like that. I can understand that there's a little more time or a lot more time that's needed. But this stuff that's going on within the Injustice Department is absurd. These are easy no-brainers. These are simple fixes. Jeff Sessions simply has to pick up the phone and say, we're not going to move forward prosecuting these patriots who simply were making a stand for principle and particulars. In Nevada, it was more particulars, which was the cattle. And in Oregon, it was more principle, which was the concept that, you know, how far are we going to let the federal usurpers push us out of our own counties, knowing that the chief peace officer in a county or subdivision is the sheriff. he's a man that should have the say and then should be into justice and doing the right thing. And we don't have very many gutsy sheriffs in this country. Some, yes, but not enough. And along our phone blitz here, I want to remind people that Tom is being held in Lane County, Oregon. He's been kidnapped by the corporate government for a victimless allegation. Once again, more victimless offenses, victimless allegations, victimless crimes, so to speak. And there Tom sits. No bail. No progress moving forward. I mean, we have had progress in at least alerting the system that his case is very important. And they have noticed. The Vicar's office has noticed by appointing Deacon Walsh. And the Justice Department will only notice if we call them with a whole bunch of phone calls. So keep the heat up on the U.S. Attorney General. Their number is 202-514-2000. Real simple, 202-514-2000. Just keep making your voice heard that we're not forgetting about Tom. And let them know that the people are watching how little progress is taking place and how little restoration is taking place in the highest levels of our new corporate government. And we don't have a restoration of a constitutional government. We just have another corporate crew coming in. Oh, that's okay. Well, we're going to run this new government like a business our way. The old guys who ran it like a business into the ground and over the cliff, their way is no good, which it wasn't. It was no good. But our way is okay. We're going to replace the Obamacare with something that works. And now our socialized medicine is going to be good. And we're going to make America strong again. And because we're at the helm, all of a sudden we can have a giant empire-building nightmare with, what, another 900 military bases around the world? And that's about what we've got. So I don't see anything being restored as far as the Republic's concerned. I just see another crew of businessmen, hyper-corporate, military-minded businessmen, who realize deep down inside that, what's the old saying, war is the health of the state. War is the health of the state for the enemy that runs the state into the ground and over the cliff, but war is not for the health of the people of the United States of America. So, hey, look, if we got to fight a battle to protect ourselves, great. But really, how many battles of actual, real, true national protection have we had in the last, what, 50 years? I would say about zero. The whole Muslim thing with 9/11 was obviously staged. They were looking for a reason to get over to the Middle East to look for oil and other things as well. I've heard from people on the inside that they're really looking for ancient technology, and that was one of their main motivations for going into Iraq. Where was the first place that the special forces went to when they entered Baghdad? The Antiquities Museum. So think about that for a while and realize there's more to this than meets the eye. I have very good sources. You know, obviously, this is hearsay and it's unconfirmed, but there's a real push to try to find some ancient technology in the Middle East that the powers that be are convinced exists, and they're looking for it. So we'll let that just kind of sit out there, and if anybody wants to comment on that, they can. But there's multiple layers of motivation for us entering the war in the Middle East, initiating the war in the Middle East, and then capitalizing on the war in the Middle East, and never ending the war in the Middle East, the longest conflagration we've ever been in. And it's got to stop. I mean, we've got to rein in this corporatized military state. This country has to cease and desist being run like a business. As long as we have corporate types in political office who insist that the nation needs to be run like a business, we're going to have a giant corrupt corporation claiming to be a government. Government is supposed to be run as a public service. It's not supposed to be run like a business. Hello? This is why just bringing in another crew of corporatists is not really going to solve our problems. We need constitutionalists and common law scholars and people who know and value freedom, people who have been within the system, great. If they're really repentant and really realize the damage that the system's done to this country, then they're welcome to join the freedom movement and try to fix what they screwed up. But I don't see a lot of fixing going on when one of the first things that the Injustice Department has done is have the president sign three executive orders, all of them creating more federal police, more police state layers of nightmare for free people. And, oh, we're going to go after the drug cartels? Well, the Central Intelligence Agency drug pimps better be right at the top of the list for the fall. And if the government's not going after the CIA for flying the drugs in after the U.S. Marines are guarding the poppy fields in Afghanistan, I mean, we're not going after any drug cartels at all. I see a lot of platitudes coming out of the new administration that seem to just want to tap into all that last little bit of the American fool who thinks that war is conservative. Yeah, war. Let's go conquer the world and let's have a big national security state. Let's pretend in some delusion that the government's somehow going to keep us safe. That's a good, and that's conservative. Let's pull that R for retard and Republican, and all everything's going to be fine because the conservatives are at the helm of the war machine now. And now it's going to be an okay war machine that's going to do. War is highly communistic and highly fascistic. It has nothing to do with conservatives. It's amazing the way the military state and its media prostitutes have been able to fool the American people into believing that the war state, the security state mentality, the government's going to protect you mentality, the police are there to protect you. I mean, I've never heard anything so absurd in my life. This administration, the spokesman for the administration came out. I forget his name, an unmemorable type of guy, just another spitting mouthpiece up there saying, you know, we're going to keep you safe. Even the witch's court has conceded and has admitted and has put forth that the police and the government cannot protect you. They're under no obligation to protect you because they can't. No, unless you want to see a police car sitting outside your house every night, and even that's not going to protect you. So I don't see how people think, how people can keep accepting this lie that's coming out of, quote-unquote, conservative, libertarian, constitutionalist, freedom-loving types in the government, that somehow the government can keep you safe. And they're still pushing it. They're hoping that last little remnant of older America that thinks, you know, war is conservative and the police are going to help you, they can do no wrong, and those are the biggest communists in this country. The people who think they're conservative and get hoodwinked and fooled again into believing that somehow this government, any government, whether it's federal, state, local, whether it's whatever country it's in, somehow government can keep you safe. And boy, they love to play that card. You're going to hear it coming out of you. We got to keep our streets safe. Everybody be safe now. Oh, great. I'm sick of the motivational speeches. I want to see the doors to the jail fly open and the patriots walk out. We're not asking to let out murderers and rapists so we can have chaos on the streets. I mean, we're asking the patriots who have been kidnapped by an incorporated government, people like Tom LaGuevara, Clive and Bundy, and the whole crew that we know about, that they just walk away free people. What's the big problem? There's no allegation they hurt anybody. There's no allegation that they conspired to hurt anybody. And here we are with more of the same, you know, witches court still sucking everybody in, cases still moving forward, spokespeople for the president's up there pimping the security state, pimping the police state, the president himself saying, we're going to make those streets safe again. When somebody says, we're going to make your streets safe again, flee from those people. Run from them. Realize that they are totalitarian nightmares trying to sell you on a giant police state. But see, as long as they're at the helm, it's okay. They're going to find an enemy, and they're believe there's plenty of enemies out there. But none of we can deal with all of them as a free people if our Second Amendment unalienable rights are uninfringed and we're left alone to protect ourselves. And you'll see communities, well, if people had more freedom to own. Where the guns are, the crime is not. Where the guns are not, the crime and the shootings are. That's the inevitable fact. It was like what we read from William Bradford last night, the first governor of the colony, the first settlement in Plymouth, in this at the founding of this 150 years before the Revolutionary War. They tried communism. They tried that type of police state, totalitarian, the governor and the local commissars, and your local government knows best what's for the community. We'll tell you what to do. Let's seize all the private property, make everybody exactly work the same, and everybody will get an even share. Oh, it sounds great. It's going to be nirvana, the wonderful communism. Guess what? It doesn't work. It doesn't work with human beings. So the communism doesn't work. The police state doesn't work. The national security state doesn't work. Making America strong again. Listen, we're as strong as we've ever been. We're so strong that we've basically conquered the world. We've got a military presence, if I'm not mistaken, everywhere. If you count, I mean, I don't know, there's a few places where it's not overt, like North Korea and maybe one or two others, but, you know, we have special forces there, I can assure you, and Central Intelligence Agency operatives, et cetera, et cetera. So once again, I'm very disappointed to hear a supposed constitutionalist, libertarian, you know, new administration. Here we are again, trying to suck the conservatives into believing that war is conservative. Oh, and let's not forget the drug war, the war on their own people, that the government, old, meaning the last administration, and new, the one sitting in power now, seem to be perfectly happy with attacking their own people in this absurd drug war. And if we're really going after the cartels, we got to go after the largest cartel in the world, the Central Intelligence Agency. So I think people need to be screaming, what about the CIA? What about the CIA at CPAC? And not be going, yay, more war, and let's have more empire building. Let's give the military-industrial complex another couple of $100 billion or a couple trillion dollars. Just great. Just dump, keep dumping money into it hand over fist, and that's going to make you more secure. The only people that get secure off that are the big black stockholders and the controllers of the corporations who make the military supplies. So, Mike, do we have Chris yet? Or Lori or anybody to join us? Or shall I just keep on rolling? I think I'm floating out here all alone, folks. With you out there, it's just Eric the Freedom Screamer. We're going to try to get John Lamb on. We'll see if Lori in Texas wants to come in. And I always welcome Chris in Las Vegas because he has quite a bit to say, and he's very knowledgeable about history and the common law, biblical law, and all the other stuff we like to discuss here on the show. If you all out there would like to chime in, the number is 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. And I would just love to be able to love this new administration. I really do. I'm not out here because I hate this or that. It's not that I dislike Trump. It's not that I have any personal beef or hang-ups from my past on this. I'm looking at this with a very clean slate and a clear head. And it's not appropriate for people to get wrapped up in this, let's just keep pushing Trump no matter what he does type of mentality. Nobody's really listened to, unless what he's saying is strictly, you know, to kind of appease a certain mentality of people in this country, which is possible. I mean, politicians lie all the time. Maybe they're just, unless it's that, I'm not really liking what I hear. I don't want to see the United States be stronger than we are. We're plenty strong enough right now, and it's drawing enemies toward us. It's not keeping enemies away from us. That's the nature of the militarized police state. And we have one of the Loris on the line. Could this be Texas Lori? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Hanging in there. Fill us in.
I just got back in. It was an interesting day today. They started out with the last witness for the defense. It was, I believe his last name is Walker with the FBI. I had to go to the airport to pick someone up, but he was basically going over the schematics of what they saw and what they saw with the drone compared to what David Frye's Defend the Base had videotaped and put out on the web. It was just all kind of the same old thing of this is what we can see from the drones and the manned flights that we have, and you know, the same old thing from him. And when I got back, that was the prosecution that had arrested. The defense had brought in Ammon Bundy, and I got to see the second half of his testimony. One of the things is everyone stood up when he walked into the room that were in the gallery, and the judge in the second half had said everybody had to remain seated or she'd kick everybody out. So I was not.
Oh boy, don't you love that? Yeah, everybody's got to rise when the Luciferian witch with the black robe walks in like an arrogant a-hole. But no, we can't stand up for a true patriot. That is just sickening. Continue, Lori.
Now, hold on. We do not have to stand up when she walks in the room. That is not being requested of us.
Oh, but that's very interesting, because they almost always, because they know two things. Number one, people usually don't want to rise for somebody who's that evil. And by the way, don't forget our new Secretary of Justice, calling himself an attorney and a general. He wore the black robe of the witch for many, many years as a federal witch, and was happy to do it. So I'm pretty disgusted about that. And he's worried about people smoking weed, but he can dress up as a Luciferian Mr. Jeff Obsessions, who refuses to drop the case against Tom LaCavara. So I just had to get out there. So by the way, if you do get into court, people, and we're going to get into what do you say to the judge and how do you kind of present yourself in the early stages of any proceedings, we'll get into that maybe next hour or tomorrow. I wanted to talk about that and the details of what is the best thing to do. As a spectator and a courtroom observer, I think if it is demanded that people rise, I would like to see the entire courtroom stand up when the judge walks in and turn their back to the bench. So everybody's back is facing the judge, and as soon as the witch walks in and sits down, everybody turns around and faces the front again and sits back down. I think that would be a great silent protest, a mass back-turning, on the witch, if they demand that you stand up. Probably she's pretty smart. She didn't demand that the Patriots stand, because they probably weren't going to their credit. So anyway, go ahead, continue, Lori. I just wanted to get that in there.
You're on a roll tonight.
Yeah, I am. I had a crushing headache, and I thought I wasn't even going to be able to do the show. I was going to ask Mike to play some clips, and now I said this headache's either going to get me on a roll or it's going to shut me down. And I tell you, the more crap they. And then, you know, that piles up. I think it's sometimes when we're under pressure is when we do our best work. So not that I want to be under pressure all the time, but anyway, just had to get that out there. But thank you. A little bit of a roll tonight. Well, because I'm outraged. I don't want to criticize the new administration. I really want to believe that happy days are here again, and we're going to get some restoration of the republic. But I'm not seeing it where the rubber meets the road and in the witch's court, where all the power sits. It doesn't really sit in the legislature, because the court can overturn, overrule, you know, not abide. If it was doing constitutional work, they could not enforce regulations that were unconstitutional and lawful passed by the legislature. Just like the police, they don't have to enforce the, huh?
I disagree with you. All the power lies with the people. They just have to wake up
honorably you're right.
Realize that they hold the power. And
thank you. Yep, you're right. I will concede you are exactly right. The power does ride with the people. Unfortunately, we're not exercising it right now. So the manifestation of where the power is presently, unfortunately, as wrong as it is in the witch's court for the most part, as we're seeing with all these unlawful cases being brought forward.
True. Some people just haven't read the Constitution and don't understand what it means, and then they're telling us we're interpreting it. But, you know, even if you just read it plain and right through, you can see some of the things that they're violating.
It's
complicated. I had a couple of conversations. It does get complicated. And let me tell you
something. You want to know where it gets complicated? I'll tell you where it gets complicated, as far at least to my read. When it gets into the structuring of all the witches' courts, this district court and that circuit court, the court's over here, and there'll be another court for that, and this court will decide this, and it's all court up the you know wazoo. And it
Hold on to your hat. It was a busy day. Hold on. Hold on to your hat, because I have a feeling John will call in and give you his perspective, as too, so you'll get two perspectives, and he may have talked to those in Nevada.
We got Chris with us. We got Lori. We got two people. We got Chris, who's going to join us for the evening, and we also got a caller. Why don't we finish with Lori's update to the bottom of the hour? It's only five more minutes, and then we'll bring in Chris from our caller and Chris from Las Vegas on the other side of the break. How's that sound?
Okay, and Fred from Pennsylvania is on as well.
Yeah.
What happened was. Ammon, very, very smart, very, very bright. They tried to catch him up quite a few times from the government side. He sat and told the truth. He went through all of the evidence that they had from yesterday from Blaine, went through and verified or denied what he had said. Was a very good testimony. He did very, very well. They were afraid of him talking about certain things, but every time he talks, just like most of us, he was able to get in more information. He was able, if anybody, I'm going to say this twice, he was able to get information out on adverse possession. Again, that is adverse possession is what they were trying to do in the refuge. That's basically taking ownership back for the people. And he went over the steps of why they had to do what they had to do. And it makes sense once he goes over it. You may not like it, or you may like it, but that's what they were doing. It is a legal term, and it is something that the government does to us. In adverse possession, he had just flipped the switch. After he spoke, and I know I'm going over his very quickly because I think John will go over his a little bit slower. We had Chris Briles, which I had the extreme honor to meet him. Chris Briles is the fire chief that discovered the FBI in Burns nosing around the armory. And he had a wonderful testimony. He came in. He just got out of back surgery. He did not take his medications. He made sure that the court knew that. And he gave a wonderful testimony as to what was going on in the town, a little bit of it, and what was going on at the refuge when he went out there, and the meetings that they had had with Ammon and the other gentlemen that had met out there. Good testimony. But the key thing I wanted to get out, because I know we're coming up against a break, is that Chris literally had mentioned to the jury that they wanted them to leave the refuge. They just briefly told them to leave. They didn't give them anything in writing. They wanted them to leave so that they could take back ownership of their own responsibility to clean up their own area. And I did get to talk to them outside of court. They are still avidly working on getting their county cleaned up and back to the people. It's something that he and another rancher sat down with me and said, everybody needs to research. Don't get caught on tangents. Sit down and educate and have meetings with your local groups. They still have the Committee of Safety going. It's something that's not part of the county. It's part of the people. It's a committee that they have. And it's something that people should research. But they are still actively, very actively, trying to clean up what's going on with the BLM and the county and the corruption in their area. It did not stop once everything was ended with this little episode. So even though we have men in jail, they have left behind them some work that others have to pick up and carry on. And they are doing it. And listening to them, they were very, very knowledgeable. And with that, I'll continue on the other side of this.
Yeah, I think I hear a little music coming up. Hey, with us, people. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer, with Lori, Chris, and others. We'll be right back after this break on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay with us. Like your parents both did. Everything you earn by breaking your backs. We're going to redistribute when we make our pay tax. Hey, sit back down. Don't be a jerk.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find and some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
PatriotPrepared.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Numana, Legacy, and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits for your entire family. Legacy, Heaven's Harvest, and Numana are known for high-quality, great-tasting GMO free nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. Simple to prepare, easy to store, gluten-free and organic high-quality nutrition options with a 25-year shelf life. You can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. So go to PatriotPrepared.com right now to pick up your supply of high-quality storable food for your family, because it makes good sense to be prepared. That's PatriotPrepared.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic. Thank you for joining us tonight. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer. We have Lori, Texas Lori, with us tonight. We have Chris in Vegas. We have a caller on the line. I think it's Fred in Pennsylvania. Lori, do you want to make any comments, or shall we pull in our caller?
Let's go ahead and pull in our caller, because we don't need to make them wait.
Excellent. Go ahead, Fred.
Greetings, Eric. Lori.
Lou.
Hi. I want to touch on the Trump speech, if I could.
Please do.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Go right ahead. That'd be helpful.
On the use of law enforcement in the city of Chicago or in other places, I've heard on other talk shows that there is, for one reason or another, a plan to send a lot of federal personnel into cities. But this doesn't really get at the reason why you have 7,000 homicides in a year. That's not going to really. They may send these people into the cities, but they'll never be able to get out of the cities once they send them in. Because you're not going to have people governing themselves.
Well, it's people looking up the food chain to the top, saying, Mr. King, Mr. Dictator, hey, Adolf Hitler, could you please send some more troops into our town and keep us safe? I mean, what a recipe for disaster. Federal policing, they have no jurisdiction outside their 10-mile toilet of D.C. They're being completely brainwashed thugs into thinking that whatever they say goes. So far down the toilet, they think we're all a bunch of military conscripts, and they're the first Louis, and we're all the enlisted guys, and we just got to obey what they say. It's insane, and we don't need any more police. We need more people having their freedom respected, so they can be prosperous and well armed.
Right. He's trading. He's getting a few cheers now, and a few. Consent of the governed things now, but he doesn't seem to realize that when he does that, he's giving up, or he's making us give up the remaining rights that we have.
Good. No, perfect. You hit it right on the. I was just about to jump in, and you caught it. You said he's not giving up anything. You think Trump's going to ever have to go through stop and frisk? You think he's going to have to, which he promotes? You think he's going to have to, you know, be a victim of the admiralty courts, all the Nisi Prius courts, all the statutory, whatever witch's court says goes, whatever the bar members at the county legislature or the state legislature, whatever they say goes. Once again, I got to remind people, all these lawmakers, they're all members of the bar. I don't have the exact number. I'm going to take a guess based on what I know about New York. I would say 85% to 90%, and I'm probably low, of the members of the New York State Legislature, especially the Senate, are attorneys. The few that are not attorneys came out of military intelligence, and not the good side of it, the totalitarian side that likes to boss people around.
Well, Eric,
all kinds of unlawful statutes.
Eric,
yep.
I want to also mention the fact that They're using money and credit, and it just isn't working anymore. Just tossing around money and credit, and they're not realizing the fact that all problems are basically ethical problems. And we're just tossing these money and credit around as if it's a magic weapon, and it just doesn't work when you have bad.
Didn't somebody somewhere along the line say the money is the root of all evil, and if it's not treated with with care and respect, I mean, people just get out of hand with the money thing, like you said, and they're tossing around money and credit like it's a.
Right. It doesn't. It's a tool. It's not the same as, you know, a citizen, a believer in God, who is, you know, pretty well grounded, I would say. Most thoughtful people who become believers. But even if you're not, and you believe the Constitution, and that's what you're going with, and you're not completely educated, but you do know your Constitution. That's what we need, not just tossing money and credit around in the absence of a body of people that are not willing to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe there are over 500 600. I think the figure is roughly 600 lobbyists. And this is an old number. I'm sure it's more than this now. There's approximately 600 lobbyists per every one member of Congress. Think about that. And every one of those, so every congressman or senator has, proportionally speaking, 600 or more lobbyists coming in with checks for millions and millions of dollars. Hundreds of thousands would be a small check. I mean, we're talking, and then the promises of future, you know, contracts for their family, and you know, all the little backdoor bonuses, and you know, if I'm not mistaken,
and can you get my son or daughter into West Point? That kind of thing.
Exactly. Yep. Look, can I be an ambassador? And I have not read Trump's books, but a very person I respect and has read them recently said that in his early books he talked about paying off politicians and how the only way to get things done in New York City is pay off the politicians. Now I don't think that's really a place that we need our people going to get and then become for higher, you know, and go into office. And I mean, you know, once again, I'm very reluctant. I don't want to be the guy out. This is not a comfortable position for me to be in, flapping in the wind among all the, you know, trying to say, hey, be careful. Do you really hear what they're saying? Do you really see what they're doing? Do you see that Tom Lacovara is still in jail? Do you see that Sessions is releasing federal police all over the nation to usurp our local police, to be partners with you? Yeah, I'll bet they're going to fence. I'll bet the federal police are going to come in and treat the local police like partners. BS. They're going to take over as best they can and throw around their orders and throw around their weight and posture and fluff their feathers and show their teeth a lot and try to get the local police to run away with the tail between the legs and thinking that they're the low man on the totem pole, when it's the local police are the high man on the totem pole. And I'm not saying that's necessarily good in all communities, because there's a lot of corrupt local police. I mean, just about everywhere. It's very difficult to find an entire local police department that's relatively pure. They're almost all corrupted, and then they have little veins of, you know, streaks of a few good guys here and some bad units there, and it's a mix. There's a lot of mixes out there, but I've been having trouble locating any departments that really have, you know, that are decent from top to bottom. They're either corrupt at the top or you know, we had one sheriff complaining to us that he had two bad deputies that really stood out to him, that were very disrespectful of the Constitution and of people's unalienable rights. And he named them, and he said, these two guys are really kind of dragging the rest of the department down, but because of their union contracts and blah, 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 I'm having trouble getting rid of them. And so even sometimes, you know, or they're both corrupt at the top and the bottom. But so even sometimes, you know, you have these divisions and these people in the departments who realize, but there's not, this is why, look, I want change yesterday. I really do. Tom's sitting in a cage right now. But at the same time, if they want to make this way, if the corporate government wants to drag this out farther and further down the road, it's only going to give rise to more people like us who listen to this broadcast, who want to be truly awake, not carrying the water for the new administration, because we want things to be good.
Eric, I want to ask you, if you could you briefly touch on there is a neighboring county in Oregon that had a good sheriff Mr. Vinnigan was trying to get to, and he has made public statements, and to briefly touch on the fact that this good sheriff has been on the right side and give his name out. That's all I have to say, and I'll be.
Yeah, I'm not very well versed on the details of that sheriff and the. If anybody else wants to call in on that, I'm going to defer to someone who's got a few more details on that. I haven't really looked into that specific man, that specific sheriff, and kind of researched. But I did kind of get wind of the same information that there are some good sheriffs out there in Oregon. They kind of want to do the right thing, and they want to do the constitutional thing. And that sounds good. And if anybody has more details on that, please call in and share that with us. But I'm going to withhold comment just because I'm not well versed on that specific
okay.
Guy.
And Eric, I want to say that what you had in that situation was the fact that people felt as though in the Bill of Rights, these rights are interlocking. That you have the right to, you have the 10th Amendment in addition, the right to earn a living, the right to, you know, exercise a right that isn't mentioned in the rest of the Bill of Rights, that these rights are interlocking, and the way the government was operating, they were determined to take away all of the Bill of Rights. And so they felt as though there had to be the ability to live on the land and earn a living and not be harassed and not have the judicial branch part of that harassment with an executive branch with the regulations taking away their rights. So if this wasn't going to be done, it was eventually either going to be done or there would be basically an inability for people to stay, as you said, within their homes.
Exactly, and that's the most sacred thing we have is our private property, and that's the first thing the especially the local government wants to violate. I can't believe if we're really restoring this republic and we're going to bring prosperity back to the people. I mean, I need to hear this administration talking about, I don't care if it's by executive order, however it's got to be done. This is, we got to correct a highly unlawful activity, which is all the titles to all the property in the country have basically been stolen. And the county clerk is sitting on it charging people rent. And the witch's court will send out the goon squad to steal your house if you don't pay the VIC, which is your rent, on your private property. And this country was, I mean, can you believe that? Where they're stealing people's private property in tax foreclosures in a country that was founded on a tax revolution and private property rights. There's just nothing in this current setup that's working for the people. So I don't think bringing home a bunch of factories from Apple and Chrysler and making us good little Chinese-style worker bees and everybody working in a factory is somehow the key to prosperity.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better than 40% unemployment, but that's not, you see how the game is played. Let's bring back a little less slavery, and then we'll still be okay. A little less tyranny, but we'll be all right. You know,
what I think is happening in a rural county or in a rural state, what can happen is the federal money flows in, and then you have the machinery of government just basically bows down because they want that federal money to flow in.
Exactly. I watched that just the other day. What was it? Yesterday I was courtroom observing, and in the court, right next to the courthouse was the county legislature building, and they were happening to have a meeting right at that time. And so I got to sit in and witness live in living color exactly what you just said. You could tell that they were all of, actually, I got to take this back. Not all of them. A majority of the legislature seemed to want to do the right thing in regard to the possible tax hike, sales tax hike. But they there were people in there who you could tell they were beholden to either federal money or international organizations such as the, what you would have with ICLEI, the ICLEI Project, UN Agenda 21 type stuff that comes in under ICLEI, and the UN International Property Maintenance Code, paying off. So it's either federal or even higher than that, farther than that, international money coming in. But to their credit, the Allegheny County Legislature, a large group of them, they said no to the, and it's just being started to be debated here. It's called Allegheny County, New York. It's the poorest county in New York and the highest taxed. So how does that get you? I get the highest taxes, and it's the poorest country with the most number of people on assistance, and very rural, very small in numbers, and they've got everybody down. I mean, when you turn on the one radio station that comes through is a kind of a 70s rock and roll station, and every single news broadcast is the police did this, the New York State Police went to get this guy today, so-and-so didn't do that, so he was in court, everybody, so-and-so went to jail for this or that, and so-and-so was picked up for failure to do this, and none of it was real crime. It was all garbage and crap. They try to pull out the more egregious stuff to make people think that, but it was all police state. I mean, nothing else. The police state news and the weather. And so you see how it goes hand in hand. You're right. The international and federal money comes in, and it co-opts the local legislatures. If you can keep people in the police mentality, It's just the slaves will go right along into their poverty. That's what's happened. Go ahead, Lori.
Hey, it was Glenn Palmer from, hold on one second. Palmer from Grant County Sheriff that you were talking about. Also, we have another caller on the line. It is Andy from Texas.
Can we bring him in, or do we have to let Fred go before we pull in Andy?
We're going to have to let Fred go before we bring Andy in.
Fred, do you mind we take it? Okay, Fred, thanks for the call. And we're going to get over to Andy now. Andy, how are you, my friend?
I am doing fine, but I got to tell you, Fred was a hell of a caller.
He's great.
What a treasure trove of information.
Yeah, we got the best callers here.
You do. You absolutely do. You do have some really good callers. I might be the exception to that, but... the first thing we have to look at, we have to look at the Hammonds and the Bundys, and we have to look at, okay, where's the victim in this thing? The victims are the Hammonds and the Bundys. So the crime is actually committed by the people who are charging them with the crime. It's absolutely ridiculous what's going on in this country. I mean, how far do you have to go to figure this out? The Constitution is quite clear. One of the things that's happened in this country is the 10th Amendment has trumped the other 9 amendments. Whatever's not afforded to you in the Constitution is left up to the states. So the states have done all these codes, ordinances, and statutes and whatnot, and just thrown this thing under the bus where they can just arrest you on a whim. In Louisiana, right now, in Louisiana, they just passed a bill that says resisting arrest is a felony. So there's people going into court right now. That's their crime, a felony for resisting arrest. But they didn't commit any crime to get arrested in the first place. So how does resisting arrest get you arrested?
Right.
I'd like to hear some replay on that.
Yeah, well, I would say, you know, we have every right to, and I don't recommend it if it's overwhelming force. You don't want to get yourself hurt. Let's be somewhat practical, but we have every right to resist an unlawful arrest. And if an arrest is unlawful and, you know, for whimsical and arbitrary and accusations that have no victim and all this other stuff, we have every right to resist that with everything we have. And I wish, you know, I didn't have to go there. But unfortunately, you know, this country was founded on that, not only that principle, but on that action.
Can I interrupt you guys a second? Something happened today that might fall right in with this. And I don't want y'all going off and getting upset with the guy because he's a nice gentleman. I did offend him. But when I go in, I call the guys Nazis because it is something that really offends me, that I can't walk into a building. I have respect for everybody in the building, but I can't go into the building and I can't go into a room without being searched and taking off my shoes and them ruffling through my jacket and all those things. He got really offended. I called him a Nazi and I looked at him and said, you shouldn't have taken that job. This is what the Nazis did. And he threatened to not let me go into the court. And I looked at him and said, I'm going in. And I said, but what you're doing is wrong. And we stopped there because he is a nice man. He has not been rude to me. But I'm still standing up saying what's going on in this country is wrong. We have to. And I pushed the envelope a little bit. I'm never rude. But he had just had enough of me saying that. And it was getting to him, which is exactly why I do it, is to say, think about what you're doing. We're getting there. But the simple fact with what you're talking about is if someone's offended, that man or woman that's wearing that uniform is offended. He's a U.S. Marshal. He's a peace officer. If they're offended, they can say what they want to and stop you from what you're doing. That's where it's wrong. Now, he stopped himself from saying, you know, he said, I can stop you from going to court. He let me in. We both stopped it at a very reasonable, common sense place. I wasn't going to push him too far. He got the point. I got the point. But the simple fact is, if that peace officer or law enforcement or whatever you want to call these people in uniform, men or women, just decide that they think that they're going to you know, push it further and be rude and do something harsher to you, they're going to ruin your life. And this is where we've lost it in the country. You know, this is where we need to say, hey, you know, it's got to stop. And it's got to stop.
Hello.
Can't travel freely. Or you can't say, hey, you can't arrest me for just a whim or something with your own incompetence. And I use the word incompetence because it means you can learn, you just haven't. A lot of people may be offended by that word, but it's the right word to use. But,
these people, young lady, these people in uniforms, they are paid by taxpayer dollars to run around and extort money from you, and then run around and kill your children, and then run around and rob you. And I've been robbed by a police officer twice now. And these people are not, they take an oath to the Constitution, and they don't uphold, protect, and defend the Constitution. Now, I'm an ex-military man, and you know what? I did wrong, too, because I didn't uphold and protect and defend it. I followed orders. And these guys are following orders, but these guys are getting paid to extort money from us, to turn us into slaves. I feel like I'm in a giant daycare center, you know, where the police officers are the daycare attendants and the judge is the person who runs the daycare center. It's absolutely ridiculous what we're going through here. And again, I brought this up last night, I think, when I talked to you guys. The Declaration of Independence, our founding fathers would have not put up with this. There'd be a revolution right now. This show would be over. We'd be hanging people from the light post and from the White House, and we'd be letting people, the tyrants, know that you can't do this to us. And I'm a disgruntled veteran. I'm really pissed off.
I know. A lot of people are pissed off.
Okay.
But like I said last night, this was, you know, we're at the second half of somebody that actually took action. Now we're facing the consequences of people taking action, and the first group was not guilty. Let's see if we can get the second and third groups not guilty. Then we have several more groups coming up. But we've got to get back to the Constitution. I can sense up here there's a strong tension between the liberals. We had anarchists going nuts tonight. The people up here are just tired of something. They just are tired of it. I know they're not getting along. Nice people, but nobody has that sense of where they belong, what they need to do, and they all want the same thing. And I think we get there with a little common sense and a little bit of respect. And even though I had a little tiff with this gentleman tonight, he is a gentleman. And we both stopped at a point where we can still keep going. And every one of the marshals have been respectful, but they're getting the point. They're getting the point. And I've seen a tremendous change in how the people are talking to them just over a few days of being up there. They're getting
Let me ask you this.
Can we do this right after the break, sir?
We got a break. Let's just hit the break and hang with us, caller. We're going to be right back after the top of the hour.
I'll hang in there.
Thanks to everyone for joining us tonight. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer. Stay with us. We got another hour ahead. So we'll see you back after the break on Resurrect the Republic on the RBN Network.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party
and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.